This is MJE. We're taking up the story of the search for a wife. Eliezer searches for a wife, but not for himself, for Yitzchak, which, by the way, seems like a very strange way to go about it. I would say that the one of the objectives of the Parsha is to establish, this is an extremely important topic, the Torah's approach to the issue of marriage or the process or selecting the appropriate partner, which is a very important thing. Because I guess every culture has an approach of its own. Certainly, America has an approach. There's individual variations, but there's the basic idea. What would you say is the basic concept behind the search? How do you go about it? What do you do? What would you say is the guiding principle, if you had to sum it up? Now, I'm telling you that the approach of Judaism, I maintain, is completely different. It's very unique. It's certainly different than the American idea. How would you summarize the American idea? Anybody? Anybody else? Well, dating, okay, but dating is just a method, but that's not the idea. The idea is not dating, because you can date all you want, but you have to have a mechanism for making a decision. How do you make the decision? Yes?
Well, I guess it's at least part of romantic-based, whoever is appealing to you based on some romantic principles who fall in love with.
Exactly. Yes, go ahead. Sure.
I think the word connection, fitting two people to the sparks to build holiness, to communicate truth to God.
Well, that's not the American idea. I mean, you go to the movies, no one's going to. I haven't seen a movie based upon that. That approach. No, I don't mean to make fun out of what you. I agree, that's a lofty thought, but that's not the. I'm asking the American approach. That's the culture. Basically, I think it is the decision is made instinctively by the instincts, I would say, by the emotions. Essentially, and you're pursuing something, and the idea is, well, how do you know that this is that all? Well, you'll know, you'll feel something. You're pursuing a certain kind of feeling. And, of course, that's obviously there's got to be some reality. That's completely removed from reality. That's completely pursuing something which I maintain is not an intelligent way to go about it. Not that that doesn't have value, but you're pursuing a certain image that's implanted in your unconscious. And why are you attracted? Because I maintain, for example, that very often love happens in the first 3 minutes because it's an instant kind of an attraction. And people, when they find that kind of thing, they go crazy. They fall madly, madly in love, and they think it's the greatest thing in the world. And that seems to be obvious then, if that's the case, that assuming this person is not a serial killer, all right, other crimes I can deal with, but, you know, assuming there's got to be some kind of a limit. But seriously, so that's clear. I met the person. That is to say that you really believe there's a person out there that was intended. Even everybody believes this. Even people that don't believe in God or believe in anything believe in this. They believe in the romantic fantasy. That is to say, I'm searching for my bashert, so to speak. It doesn't have to be a religious idea. There's somebody out there that's meant for me. And I'm disappointed because this one, the other one, just doesn't turn me on. And if you should have that experience, you're filled with a great joy. You know that state of being in love, it's like a neurosis kind of a thing. You know, you can't function in a normal kind of a way as long as that kind of feeling is there. But there's also that conviction that this is it. It's hard. It's hard. You automatically. Another thing is that as soon as you fall in love, you know the person for about 3.5 hours, and you immediately project onto that person all the perfections that could exist. This person that you can't believe what a wonderful kind. This person is like the most unbelievable great person, in spite of the fact that you don't know the first thing about the person, other than how the person's reacting to you on a date. That's all you know. But you're right, you get that feeling that we understand each other, we complement each other, we are like the same interests, the same jokes. Oh my God, the fact that this person likes the same songs that I like, that's the most important thing. That's very, very important. What else could you write? That's that we should get married and have children because we like the same song. It's true. I'm just trying to show you how absurd it is. It's absolutely absurd. And the notion, just hold on a little bit. When a person follows that approach, what you're doing is basically making one of the most important decisions in your life. You're making one of the most important decisions in your life completely blinded to reality. There's no other area of significance in your life that you would treat that way. If you're going into, unless if a person would do so, you'd say this person is completely irrational. And that is that you would not go into a business if you're intelligent, because it evokes a certain feeling in you, a certain fantasy. So something triggered off a fantasy. But you're going to have to plunk down a lot of money. See, in business, you're going to have to plunk down a lot of money. Of course, when you get married, you're plunking down more. You're plunking down your life. But there, anybody would know. You got to, let me discuss it. Talk to the experts. You know, calm down and analyze whether the feeling you had, just because I have a feeling about something, well, there are people that lose a lot of money that way. They just invest. They're suckers. They're called suckers. Right? They're suckers. Well, you have romantic suckers as well. Same thing. It's just as... What I'm trying to say is that it's just as foolish. Why would any intelligent person trust that fantasy and believe that just because I have a certain instinctive feeling about this person and there's a psychological, shouldn't you know that all the goodness you see in that person is purely a figment of your imagination that you're projecting onto that person? Well, the proof of that is just take a look at all these great romances. You read about them, the Hollywood stars, and this, they have tremendous romances. You've seen it. I mean, you've seen it maybe amongst your friends. The divorce rate in this society is pretty high. It's way over 50%. It's way over 50%. And it's not because they never really loved each other in the way that we're talking about. It's not the case. Some of them were mad. You ever seen these people mad? They, for the rest of my life. And you're amazed at how short, how that wears off very, very quickly. Because love has a short shelf life. Wears off very, very quickly. And then what happens? What happens when you see, if you get married on that basis, then what you're doing is you're getting married to a fantasy. It's all in your, the picture that you have built up, it's like you're painting a picture of someone that doesn't truly exist. There's nobody else in the world that has this attitude about this person, person's friends, even family. That this not, maybe he's a decent person, but certainly not the way that idealized version that you've created about that person exists within your own mind. Now, what's going to happen is, see, that feeling is based upon a projection. But as you get to know the person, the more you get to know the person, the more the reality is going to set in. Now, when the reality sets in, I'm not saying it's necessarily bad, because to the extent that the reality corresponds to the fantasy, you're lucky. That if you fell in love with someone, you fell madly in love, and it just so happened that this person is a really terrific, wonderful, it's that person really corresponds to the image you've created, then you've hit the jackpot. But that's very rare. It's about the same chances I keep going back to the lottery. It's about the same chances. So that's in a nutshell, that is really what everybody is telling you to do. In this culture, you go to every movie, every person, go with that fit. We're searching for the same, no matter how it fails and fails and fails, there's nobody to take a step back and say, maybe the whole thing is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Because you should realize, again, that you're going to have to live with the reality of the person. And to choose a marriage that's going to last, I always tell people, do you love the person? Do you love the person? Now that's, well, of course I love the person. The person is not the fantasy, the image. The person is when you get to really know that person objectively. In the dating situation, as I said, you don't know the person. When the feeling wears off, and then if you take the time to really... If you really like the qualities of this person, I could tell you what the person really is. Their kindness, their sensitivity, their ideals, their character. Things of that sort. If you fall in love with those things, then you're in a good situation. Then because... As long as the person remains the way they are, and you know, you grow together and so on and so forth, then that's not going to wear off, because those are the things that are really important to me. And if I fell in love with the things that are really important to me, then there's a basis. There's a basis for the marriage. But if you didn't fall in love with that, what you fell in love, we're talking about the romantic. You got carried away with that romantic thing, and you walked in blindly because love blinds you. Love is a blinder. When you love like a parent with their own child, that's love, and my child is only good, can only do good. It's very hard for a parent to be objective about their own child. It's harder for someone in love to be objective about the one that they love. Until that feeling wears off and you get to know the real person, it could be that you fell in love with someone that you intensely dislike. Isn't that true? You can fall in love with a person, and when that happens, the love turns into hatred. The love turns into hatred. You see? So I'm saying, you don't really need the Torah for this. Any intelligent thinking individual, and philosophers that think about the thing will come up with the same thing. I don't think you have to be a genius for this, although it's very, very difficult because we all have these emotions. And, you know, especially when you're young, it's just a natural thing. You'll know. How will I know? You'll know. You'll feel it. You'll feel it, and you'll know. That approach,
is that in my opinion... I don't believe in that. You'll feel it, and you'll know.
Well, I'm arguing against it.
You are arguing against it.
Well, haven't you heard what I said?
Well, it's not a time for food. This is much more important than food.
He's dreaming about
it. No, I'm arguing. I've tried this whole introduction to poke fun out of that idea to show you how absurd it is. If you sit back and look at it, you see it's absurd. Aside from that, just take a look at the society. Why the divorce rate? And why especially amongst those who are madly, the more madly in love, and they can't get enough of each other, and so forth, and then they can't stand the sight of each other. That's a very real, an intelligent person will stop and think about it. But for some reason, everybody thinks that's them, that's not me. My case will be different. It turns out they really didn't have what I have. That's a foolishness, in my opinion. I may use terms that may appear to be a little harsh, but I'm not a directed any person. It's just that whole approach is so ridiculous. A wise person, a person that lives according to the Torah, lives according to Chachma. Yes?
But what about people who overanalyze it?
Mm-hmm. So
I see what you're saying, but you kind of have to be in the middle.
I just want to make, before I go further, again, don't take anything I say personally, okay?
I know.
That's not the problem. You happen to be correct. It's bad, just like in any area, it's bad to overanalyze. If that stems from an inability to make a decision, or it could be a problem. I'm not going through every problem. Some people some people can't make a commitment. Some people just they're afraid. They want their freedom. They don't want responsibility. Forget about it. Well, just some people are in any area. Oh, but overanalyzing is not the problem just in this area. That could be a problem in business too. There are people that wait. So that's correct. That is correct. You're 100% correct. But that's not the real problem today. I don't think. I think the real problem today is that people don't know how to go about it. They don't know what true love is. They don't know what true love is because they're completely mesmerized by this faulty idea, this romantic notion, which is not true love. Which is the kind of love that you see in a movie, and it melts your heart, and that is not true love. That is just a romantic fantasy which has a short shelf life. True love is very hard to depict. True love is very, very hard to depict. You see, I'm going against everything that is ingrained. I grew up in the same culture. Maybe a few years before you guys, but it was just as intense, the whole thing. I had all these feelings, went through the whole thing. So it's not anybody's fault. I'm not putting anybody down. We're analyzing something. And here, but you see, in my generation, you didn't have the same divorce rate because you didn't have the same opportunities. It was still a taboo about divorce. So not that people were more happily married, but I guess to a certain extent, maybe you are. The whole attitude towards marriage was different. It wasn't that heavily focused on the romance thing. It was more like you had to be married. It was more like people had responsibilities. You know, yeah, it was like a
survival.
It was a job, whatever you want to put on it. So
you mean survival for women back then?
What? It was for everybody. I mean, men. You know, you needed the emphasis on family. It wasn't as mobile as today. Today, you know, you can get married, get divorced. It was much more freedom. There's much more freedom. So that just. What's that?
No sex in the city.
Yeah, we are. Not in my city. But anyways, so I became a rabbi. But but that's the that is the problem. Again, I don't think it's overanalyzing. There could be such a problem, but what I'm maintaining is that you are in you're taking a huge risk. And you're setting yourself up for all of these types of problems because you never really fell in love with the person, and you never fell in love with the person because you never really got to know the person, because you was a tremendous pressure to go ahead with that powerful romantic feeling, which is completely blind. As I say, it's completely blind. And you should understand the psychology behind it. Doesn't mean there's nothing wrong with it. It's very normal. I don't mean to say that that it's... let me just explain a little bit of the psychology. How is it possible that you fall in love in the first 3 minutes? You don't know the first thing about the person.
It's not love.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to say. But you feel it. I feel it. I knew right away. I saw this person right away. So what determines then?
Now,
it can't be based upon the objective quality of that person, which you don't even know.
Physical attraction.
Ah, but it's more than a physical attraction. There's a psychological phenomenon at work. Everybody has within themselves an ideal image, an unconscious ideal image of the ideal person. Now, if you study psychology, it has to do with, it's based upon certain very key figures in your childhood. There's the Oedipal phenomenon, there's the father figure, and I can see a lot of similarities. If you haven't looked at these things, it's not overt, but you can see a lot of similarities between the wife and the mother. Not in an overt way. To the person, she may look exactly the opposite of the mother. But there's subtle things over there. But that's not the only thing. There's other things. There's a narcissistic component in it as well. Sort of like I found my ideal self. That's a narcissistic component. Whatever the case may be, it's in your unconscious. Now, it's in your unconscious. And... what happens is like this. You're searching for that image. Now, when you find somebody, when you see someone, and that person evokes that image within you, because that's your personal particular image, it evokes it within you, so something happens, and then you start to project all the qualities. You project onto that person this quality, that quality. Yeah, sometimes you'll see someone, a gorgeous guy, handsome guy, and you start to imagine he's got this. You imagine all kinds of things, because that look conveys a certain thing. Of course, all those things can be totally false. And the same is true, that's what a guy does with girls. So when that happens, bear in mind, you're projecting. What you're falling in love with is a projection of your own imagination. You're falling in love with an image that you've created, but it's not the real person. Then later, I'm so disappointed in you. I'm so totally disappointed in you. Well, why are you disappointed? That's why what's it his fault that you made an image of him? That's not him. Why are you blaming him? Why be disappointed in yourself? You should be disappointed in yourself because the truth of the matter is it didn't make any sense. Did you ever take the time to find out the real person? You don't even want to bother. God forbid, you don't want to mess up the fantasy with any kind of reality. You don't want to find any. But that's what you ought to do. That's what dating should be about. That's what dating ought to be about. Of course, this is important. Now, by the way, I don't mean, you'll see it illustrated in the story. I don't mean to negate the emotional component. That's impossible. I don't mean to say you should search for someone who's wonderful, someone who's intelligent, who's considerate, who's modest, and so on and so forth. Caring. All the great things. But I don't feel anything for that person. Yeah, you have that a lot. I'm sure you've all been on those kinds of dates, right? You've all... because everybody wants to set you up. Right? That's a big thing. Everybody wants that, achievement, that I made the match, right?
What is that, Rabbi?
What's that?
Yeah, what is that?
Like a mitzvah? I mean, is that like a mitzvah? Like
should we go for that guy?
For the guy, you for which guy? The guy that what?
The guy that you should be going for, but there's no attraction.
If there's no attraction, you have a problem. I would say, if you, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I know that Shmuel Wattef talked about trying to cultivate. Can you cultivate love?
Yeah.
Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. I mean, within, I've seen cases, because the person, it's interesting. The person, I'll give you an example of this. Sometimes, a girl actually asked me this question last year, that sometimes you like this and that, but there's something holding you back. Okay? Very, you know what it can sometimes be? Guys have this too. I think maybe guys have it, well, maybe, equally, but... is that a certain thing, there's a certain feeling that I could do better. That kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah, oh, it's like a
smorgasbord. But then you know something? Well, no, I'm very serious. I'm very, very serious. I'll get to you in a second. Let me just finish one. I'm very, very serious. What you think is better, you can make it worse. Because that's not really better. It's better because there's a big ego thing, too. A lot of times there's an ego thing. I imagine myself with a certain type of person that other people will look, you know, like it's that kind of thing. There's a little competition there. There's a little ego in there. You know, this person, I don't mind being with this person when there's nobody around, but if people see me with this person, it's sort of like a blow to me because I ought to, because I deserve something better. I deserve something better. Someone with name recognition, something like
that.
Ah, if that's the case, if that's the case, I'll just hold it for a second. I got to finish this off. Forget. You see, that's what it is. Guys have had that too. You really like her, this and that, but there's an ego thing.
A lot of times the guy may not.
I can always talk from the guy's side. It's easier, obviously. Even though I counsel men and women, but it's, you know, it's easier. A lot of times the guy's in with the girl. It's, okay, but the same kind of thing.
Happening with women a lot.
Well, it happens with men a lot. Then if somebody else should be attracted to her and she starts flirting, he gets intensely jealous. Now he has to have her. Or if his friends will come by and say, wow, look at that, she's beautiful. All of a sudden, this feeling changes. Now it's okay. What happened? It means that there was a separate factor intervening. The person is really, really good. Now, here's the case that I wanted to, and you would like that person, but that other factor, the social ego that comes to play over here, you see, the need to project yourself or to show off or whatever it is, it sounds petty, it sounds so ridiculous, it's there, it's very powerful. You're acknowledging it. Case in point, one of my students, both of them, boy, they're both remarried. They're both remarried. And the girl's a very good-looking girl. She was married to this guy in whatever news, I'm not going to mention any names, you might even recognize it. And it was a very abusive relationship, and she got divorced. And this guy was, the guy is a different kind of guy, not the kind of guy that she would ever be attracted to. Good guy, really good guy, sensitive, intelligent, and so forth, totally, completely different. Well, she went through a lot of therapy. She went through a lot of therapy after the, she was abused in the relationship, blah, blah, blah. And then she met this guy, you know, when she was ready, and she used a completely different approach. They're very happily married. I know them very well, so I could talk to them. And I said to her one time, I won't mention, you know, tell me, you would never have been attracted to the first, she said, absolutely not. The guy that was best for her is a guy that she, in her old self, she needed a guy who was a rock and roll, a music, pop, 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 she was attracted. She never would have looked at a guy like this. But this guy was really the best one for her. They have a terrific relationship. You see what I'm saying? That proves my point, that you're coming into this with many things that are not germane. But to the extent that the things you're looking for, this and that, he has an image, people will look up, they'll say, wow. To that extent, you're taking away. That takes you away from the things that are truly, truly important. You see, in any other area, if this business works for you, you're making a good living, but it doesn't look sexy. Well, who cares? And so people say, you're not, but who cares? It works for me. I'm serious about that. Any other area of your life that's of importance to you, you're going to go with the quality, if it's good, works for me. So let's say you have someone, and this person works for you. Makes you really happy. But it's not anywhere. Come on. You know, you're beautiful. Why would you be seen? Oh, then it's a problem for you. Then it's going to interfere. You're going to allow that factor of what people will think of you to interfere with your own, it's going to hold you back because you're not going to get that social approval. Does that make any sense? Should you spend your life looking for a guy who's miserable because of social approval? He has the social approval, but he'll make you, he won't treat you right? Or is it more important to marry the person, where that's the right person for me? And I don't care about what my parents think, I don't care what this person thinks. Because I know that this is the right person for me. Now, I kept you waiting for a while. What's your name?
Jessica.
Is this your first time here?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
No, basically I was just going to say what you were saying, that like, it's based on perspective. So when you come in with like X, Y, and Z things that you've been through, then you know it's important. So like, that's how you figure it out. Like, you decide what you need and what you have to have, and like, what's like the bonus. And like, what's like, okay, well, if this is here, then that's great, but like, this is what I want.
No, that's very, very important. And you said something else that's very good. See, there is a protection. The fact is that we've been in relationships and out of relationships and studying what you always should be involved in studying. What went wrong? and why and modifying, you know, you don't just go for the first person. Although, look, sometimes the first person, that person can be the right person. I'm not knocking it. I'm trying to give you a approach. In Hebrew, it's like a derech of what it is that you should be looking for. Because marriage is more than just the emotional factor. Marriage is more than just that, although it's necessary. Because I would not tell anybody, I would not. You can have the most wonderful person, and that's the person you want, a friend, with great qualities, intelligence, and all the good things, but you just don't feel anything. So then I would tell the person, don't do it, because marriage is not just about that. There is a emotional satisfaction that's needed. There's a sexual component. So if you're going to spend your whole life frustrated, so that's not the same thing as I feel, you know, I can't show off this person, because the person may not be that good. That's a different kind of thing. That's showing it off. I'm happy. See, if you're happy, if you're emotionally satisfied as well, and you're sexually satisfied as well, because, again, you can't go into a marriage and then be sexually frustrated. That's absurd. That's not going to work. So if those factors, that's why it's very, very complicated. It's probably the most complicated relationship, because all other relationships are more limited. Okay, it's more limited. Even the choice of going to a business together, you need a business partner. See, you know, you're not going to look at, you don't care about the person's sense of humor so much, you care about the actual qualities, right? Can I trust the person? Is the person intelligent? Will they do their job? But in marriage, imagine, put aside the romantic, look at all the, do you ever think about the, assuming the romantic is there, but what about the objective? Is this person mature? Is this person totally self-centered? This person lazy? Does this person crack under pressure? I mean, so what good is it? What good is it that I think he's cute and he's gorgeous? You know how meaningless that's going to be? That's great when you're dating, but when you have the kids and you need someone to go out there and this and that, and he's sleeping and he's lazy, and fighting, all that stuff. I mean, and the same way for the guy. I'm just doing, you know, I think that in the, with all the, I think that in those who are here with the Shmuley Motet, I think he was picking on men most of the time. It was very pro. It was the women were like the heroines, and the men were like, you know. I didn't think that was.
I blame everything on the women.
No, I'm not blaming any party. I think it's a. I don't blame it on none. I think it's a societal problem. It's the narcissistic person of today, and it's not more the men. It's not more the women. Both people have to. But this. Imagine if you were choosing someone, you were going to go on a sail around the world. Okay. And this person, the two people are going to be sailing a boat. That takes a tremendous amount of effort, right? And each person is going to have their job and have to do it well, because you're counting on each other. And if one person decides to get lazy and dump their problems on you and this and that, you can't. And then there's going to be all the setbacks, and there's going to be the storms, the disappointments, the person's going to fall apart on you. Aren't these the things you want to know to the best of your ability? Know what it is you get. This is what a partner is. A partner is not just someone to go to see to a movie on a Saturday night, at which he's great at that. He's fantastic. Terrific. Or picking the restaurant, you know, getting the waiter over. These are some of the fantastic. That's so important in the scheme of things. You see what I'm saying? But that's what's going to matter. That's the content of the relationship. The content, that's what love is. See, which comes first? That's another of my questions. Love or marriage? Which comes first? Now, what comes first, love or marriage? The answer the question. The answer the question wrong. You can't go out on any dates until I give you permission. Which comes first, love or marriage? What? Take a look at our parsha.
Marriage always comes first.
Prove it to me from the parsha. So then, but does that ever say love and marriage? Love and marriage goes together like what? Remember that one?
Go together.
Very good.
Well, first they got married, and then...
Take a look. There you go.
24, 67.
What does that tell you? Take a look.
But that's
and it's amazing. And he didn't even date her.
24,
how is that possible?
It's really risky.
But
he didn't even date her. That's the best idea. Everybody should have an Eliezer. Everybody should have an Eliezer.
Where did we find one?
I'll be the Eliezer if you want. I'll have to get to know you better. Whenever I set somebody up, I don't do it. I don't do it every. See, come out there. I don't do it every day, but if I do it, see, there's another thing, by the way. I just gave a lecture on this thing. It's very, very important. It's a pasuk that you, before a blind person, do not place a stumbling block. There's a verse in the Torah. It's a negative commandment. Do not place, what does that mean? doesn't mean if a person's blind you put a banana peel. That's not what he's talking about. That you didn't need the word for that. Not that you're allowed to do it. It means someone who's blind in an area, and they turn to you for advice, and you give them advice which is beneficial to yourself, but which is bad for them. Like, you know, predatory lenders trying to sell people mortgages they can't afford, mm-hmm. and they're vulnerable, they don't know. So that's, even though, look, that's their responsibility too, but that's it. Now, I tell people, we've all had this experience, you know, when somebody set you up, and it was like, you know, the date from hell, like, you had that, like, yeah. God, what? And you tell the person what you're looking for.
Agreed.
You've had that, we all had, who hasn't had that experience? It's a very annoying, it's very depressing. But why do you do that? If you're going to set, if I set somebody up, I get to know what this person's looking for on every level, and if I'm convinced, I get to know the person. People are not disappointed. Some people have a certain thing with looks, like kind of look, this, that. I'm pretty good at that stuff. And I will never, ever set somebody up because I think it's good. I think you should go. I think you should be with this person, but I don't know that that person is attracted to. You see what I'm saying? You should be very, very careful not to mislead. If somebody trusts you, and I'm setting you up, and I'm building it up like it's terrific, but really it's not. It's not that terrific. And then I'm subjecting you to a painful experience. That's something that you're not permitted to do. Go ahead.
My question is that when we get to the point where we know what we need.
Yes. You got to know what you need.
Right.
Excellent. What else must you know? Hold it a second. Part one is you have to know what you need. Can this person satisfy my needs? That's a very, very important question. There's another part, the other question that goes along with that that's of equal importance, but you're not probably going to think about it as much. Exactly. Can I satisfy their needs? But before you can answer that question, what do you have to find out? Before you can, what are his needs? Or are his needs?
Right.
You think, not what you imagine to be their needs. That's another thing. Isn't that an amazing thing?
It's amazing.
People don't even know their needs. You imagine, you think that's their needs, or you it ought to be their needs. It's not their needs at all. So you've got to really get to know your own true needs and be honest about it. That's not so simple either. And you should communicate this in the course of dating. Communicate. Because hopefully, this is my flaw, hopefully there's always going to be, once you get married, it's going to be a new reality. You're going to say, yeah, I mean, yeah, because you don't know, whatever you know before, you're not going to know everything. But let's hope that the amount, that pretty much the way you envision it is pretty close to the reality. You should sit back and envision what's life going to be like with this person. Day in, day out, and this. What's life? And a good choice is where it's pretty much corresponding. There's always going to be surprises. You can't know perfectly. But the more you know, the better. Knowledge is good. Good. I'm sorry. But you have such a fantastic point that it just would give. Go ahead.
Okay, so once you know what your needs are, and you go on these dates with people, and they get an idea, you know, you tell them what your needs are, and in their selfish way, they try to make you think that they are what you need because they want to get from you what they want. How can you tell when that person is genuine and when that person just wants something?
That's a good question. Trust me? What did you say? Trust me?
No, I said trust me. Some of them are. It's not easy because some of them are good at it.
Listen. There's no. Exactly. There's no foolproof.
But I don't want to waste my time waiting for them to crack.
Well, no. I would suggest. There's no foolproof system. You can't make a perfect system out of this. But I still maintain that if you're going about it correctly, you're more likely to make a better decision. Let's put it this way. Now, that's why dating, you need time. Time is a factor. Because a person can maintain a facade for a short amount. Yeah. I mean, right? I can be on good behavior for short periods of time. But then don't, you know, get to know the person, and also get dates that are more realistic.
Like?
When you're really spending time in situations, whatever it is, even a camping, climbing, with things that are more stressful, that are, you know what I'm saying, that are more likely to bring out the real person. There's some, you know, the dates are too easy.
Don't wait on
you. You're right, the dates are too easy.
Yeah. Get to know how the person is with friends, with family. The reality. Get to know. I'm trying to say.
Exactly. No. Don't manufacture the situation. Just getting stuck in traffic. Like this can go. Then you get to see the real anger of the person. That's getting drunk.
See how they are
drunk. No, that's not gonna work. It's not gonna work. It's not gonna work. The more time that's spent, and the more it's in realistic situations, it's impossible to act. You can't act that much. You make it to a course. A typical date, you get together a couple of hours and you're on best behavior and you're going to see a show, whatever it is, that's not so hard. That's not a big deal. You got to get to know the person, how he interacts with his family, with friends, with your family, etc. You see what I'm saying? Get to know, construct scenarios where if the person doesn't have good virtue, he's going to, you know, it's going to come through. Yeah.
You see, because the Parsha is telling you that first comes marriage. Now, what page is this on? Come on, help me out here. 121. Thank you very much. This is such a huge story. Listen. If you follow this, you'll see this is the whole formula. Because you can't say first marriage. You had to be married if you didn't know anything about her. So first comes knowledge. Okay? First comes... Take a look. The Eved. And the servant said, he's my master. She then took off the veil and covered herself. The servant told Isaac all the things he had done. So now he knew. He gave him a complete report. Now, this is beautiful. Take a look at page 121. And Isaac brought her into the tent of Sarah, his mother. It's very, very important. He married Rebecca. She became his wife. And he loved her. And thus was Isaac consoled after his mother. Amazing. What is one thing? Look at all the ideas in one verse. First of all, isn't this redundant? Listen to me, Kevin. Isn't it redundant? It says he married Rebecca and she became his wife. Well, of course, if he married her, she became his wife. So what's the teaching over there?
Well, you can marry someone and then you can...
And not become the wife. You can just get married, but you...
A wife is a relationship, or a husband, wife. In other words, they're created by living together, by facing the challenges together, by working together. That's when you become a wife.
You don't just become a wife by virtue of the fact that you had a marriage certificate. You see?
So that's what it's
very, very fascinating. So what's it saying? And so why did he marry her in the first place? It means because she had the appropriate... That's why Eliezer was the perfect choice. Because he knew Yitzchak. He knew the kinds of characteristics of the mother. She was to take the place of Sarah. So what was the test that he gave?
When he's by the well, he would ask for a drink, and she would, but then she voluntarily offered to water all the camels. That's a different degree. You see the two kinds of chesed? It's one chesed, if you're thirsty, you come over to me, all right, here, have a drink, that's good. But then to voluntarily offer to help you with the account, whatever else it requires, that's a person who practices not just reactive chesed, not just reactive, but out of a love chesed. I mean, if that's a true capability of loving another individual in a compassionate kind of way. And then what else did he mention about her? What else? Then he said he was looking.
Independence,
excellent.
That's my favorite.
Independence, what else? She was beautiful. That's what it says, that he was looking at. She was beautiful. So he was concerned about the chemical thing. He was concerned about the emotional thing. The emotional thing, the fact that she was pretty. That's a very good thing. I'll talk about true beauty in a different sphere. I'll talk about what true beauty is. Well, whatever the case is. But, what does it mean he was comforted after his mother? What does it mean he was comforted? And how can Eliezer pick a wife for somebody else? Because confidence. Because he took her away from her family. That was a big thing. He had to convince the family that they should, in those days, that they were going to see her again.
But then she was up to her. She made the decision that she wanted.
Exactly. That shows the character as well. At the end of the day, they first agreed. They say he convinced them that this was from God. That's why he wanted the egg. That's why he prayed to God to give him a sign. He prayed to God to give him a sign so that he'd be able to convince the family to make such a huge sacrifice, to give up their own daughter. They weren't going to have room for it again. They didn't have cell phones in those days. So they said, how can what's there to say? May Hashem Yatadava. The matter has been decided. God has spoken to us. No choice. But then they tried to delay. Isn't that interesting? He wanted to go right away. They wanted to delay, which sounds reasonable. Let her, give her some time to get ready for the journey. He says, no, don't delay me. God has caused my past. What was he afraid of?
Sometimes
change your mind. Exactly. Right now they were under the sway of these miracles and so forth. But as time goes by, sometimes what you see from that, sometimes you have to act on what's going on. It's never that simple. Sometimes people, like you said, procrastinate too much. You said. Sometimes people procrastinate too much. You've got to use your intelligence. There is a time to act, and to allow the opportunity to pass, that's also not a good thing. So you have to know when not to act, because it's an impulse, and don't follow the impulse, study the situation, get to know the person, and develop a relationship with the real characteristics of the person. And then there's a time when that's it, that's the evidence, you have enough evidence. Do it now. Now it's a bad thing to put it off. It's never easy. But the amazing thing is that's when that's the true love. That is because he knew. Eliezer knew him very well. He knew his qualities. He knew what Yitzchak was looking for, objectively. But he also had a good sense about the emotional aspect. Because he knew that the special relationship, that's what the commentary said. He was comforted that he had a special relationship with his mother. And so. And when she died, nobody used that tent anymore. He didn't fix it until he found Rivka. Nobody, out of respect for his mother. And the Ramban says that he suffered greatly from the loss of his mother. Because it wasn't just the mother. It was a very special situation over here. He was born miraculously. The mother was 90, the father was 100. So the relationship between him and Sarah was very, very close. And then she was older, he didn't have that. So when she died, he experienced that she was comfortable. He could not be comfortable. Until he found someone who had the identical characteristics. That's where Sir Eliezer was perfect. That's why he didn't send Yitzchak Eliezer did a bit, Yitzhak didn't have that kind of experience at this point in his life that he'd be able to find in a strange land to be able to find the right girl. And yet you subjected me enough. Since you're so secure, your own subjective involvement sometimes will distort the choices you make. I could be better in making a choice, or somebody else who knows you very, very well can tell you that's not going to be good for you. No, but my own feeling. I feel this is the right one. That absolute feeling, I know it, don't tell me. You know how many people have said that? And how many people have been divorced? Because that's not a true knowledge. That's the story over here. The story over here is, interestingly enough, that Eliezer was the ideal person. Was the ideal person even better than Yitzhak. Because when he comes back and he describes everything that took place, the test, how she reacted, the whole situation, and that's the objective. Those are the objective qualities. And you can't marry a person that doesn't have the objective qualities that you're looking for. Must have those qualities. But at the same time, what about the emotional? What about, it's not just business, it's got to be a feeling. Ah, you see? The feeling was there. And Yitzhak was comforted after the divorce. Remember I told you before that that's part of the attraction? That you're looking for the ideal parent? You know, that's called the Oedipus complex. See? And who knew better than Eliezer? So when the marriage was done that way, he brought her into the tent. Which means they resumed that kind of life that was established by Abraham. And so, they resumed that kind. And she became his wife. Means that that's the real relationship. Not the technical marriage, but the true relation of two people who are working together. That's real love. The love gets stronger and stronger. The truth is that love should get stronger and stronger with the right person. Because if you see eye to eye and you share, that's what any success that you have. Any success that you have is not much value if you don't have something to share with. If you got a raise or you got a good grade, you had to call someone. I don't know who it was in your life. Right? But if suddenly you won the lottery, something fantastic happens to you. You met someone on the plane. What's the first thing you do? You can't wait to get to somebody, I gotta tell you. You see, so that we share the same values and we're struggling. And when things go bad, as they will, the setbacks, you know, there can be serious illnesses. But this is a person that's there that has that strength. And you get through something together. When you get through something together and you share that, that's the real relationship. That's the real relationship. See, in the long run, I am telling you again, and then I'll take something I know you want to make a point of, it was a point that people wanted to make. Bear in mind, you've got to get this through your head. The initial attraction, what we're calling romantic love, or puppy, whatever love you want to call it, it is going to wear off. It's not going to be enough. I don't care if this is the most beautiful person in the world that everybody else goes down on. If you have to live, you're going to live with the actual person. Now, by the way, most of the beauty anyway, well, a good deal of it is makeup and creative and material. It's not what the person looks like first thing in the morning. That's what you should do. You should get to see what the person looks like first thing in the morning. That's what you should do. I mean, you have to marvel at it.
People are in the morning.
But anyways, I'm saying all of that gorgeousness and beautifulness is nothing. You will despise this person if this person is totally paying, totally narcissistic, all they care about. They only look at you as a means for fulfilling. There are a lot of people like that. A lot of people in a relationship are just looking for someone to satisfy them. That's all they care about. And you're only of value, they love themselves. They don't love you. They love themselves, and they love you only insofar as you're satisfying your sense of self. When you cease to do so, they love you. As in, when you have a real crisis, and you have to be now, whatever it is, and then they're not getting anything out of you, then we'll see how much they love you. Then we'll see how much. See, that is a completely different kind of phenomenon. Okay, we have a few minutes. I left a few minutes for questions or comments, so we'll start with you.
But isn't a relationship about doing things for each other?
That's what I'm trying to say.
You're saying the minute somebody stops doing what you want them to do, it's almost
that is, down almost like... That's a person who's very self-centered and very self-centered. Beware of that person.
Yeah, that's the wrong thing.
Right,
a person can speak, can love you and give you gifts and all that, and act like loves you, but doesn't mean he loves you. He means he loves himself, and you're satisfying him. And when you cease to do that, he doesn't love you anymore. That's what I'm trying to say. Be on the lookout for that kind of thing. I think there are tons of lookouts. Well, I said you're right. Go ahead.
I have a question. You know, he
said
prophecy. He was told it's not the right tool for
him. You don't shut the air conditioner off. It's cooler and it's too noisy. Okay, good. What?
I have a question about the prophecy. He knew what to look for. So it was a matter of checking. You know what? It's not easy because,
you know. Well, Abraham did have Eliezer. Eliezer had one advantage. There was an element of divine intervention. It was a sign because he said, I'm going to go to the well and I'm going to ask, you see? But it wasn't just make a wish, God, just bring it to me. He had to divide. The test that he devised was correct, was the right things to look for. He acted in the most diligent manner. Look how difficult, how daunting the task was. Imagine going to a strange country, you don't know anybody over there, and try to find the right person, and that's not the hardest part of it. Then go to the family and convince them to... How are you going to do that? Well, there's more to the story. What did he have going for him? What did he bring along with him?
Money.
It's where the money was very important. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He had money. The lineage of Abraham. Abraham was a great person of it. Abraham had a name for himself at that point in time. He was a prince of, like we saw in that story, or a prince of God amongst us. The choicest place of burial for Sarah. And what's the third thing? The third thing was, it's the will of God. He was able to show evidence. That's that whole lengthy speech. He was able to show evidence. But if he had not used his own chachma, just to make a wish, well, God, that doesn't work that way, Judaism. God helps those who help themselves. I know it sounds trite, but it's a very, very important point. But he doubled the chol derech of mind. It says about King David that in all of his ways, he was safe, intelligent, and God was with him. God is with you only when you follow the pathway of your fantasies and your emotions. Don't ask God to help you. That's a different ballgame. Then you're on your own. That's not the pathway that the Torah has shown you. When you abandon that and you say, I want to do the right thing. I want to look for marriage for the right purposes. And I want to use the correct approach, and I want to find real value. I'm searching for real value. You know which investor real value? Warren Buffett. The real value, not gambling, not games, but really quality, the things that really count. That's the formula for success. And there's another thing, before I conclude, there's something which is a note of optimism. I just spoke about this recently in my shul. This is a very optimistic parsha. That you should never give up, because he persisted. He had a very daunting task, but he didn't give up. He had faith in God. You have to have faith in God. That person is definitely, you cannot say that there's nobody out there for you. That's the most absurd thing. If you want to get married, you'll get married. That's not, and if you use your intelligence, if you're not using your intelligence, and as I said, you have really very good people, but, you know, when they walk around and it's parties, then I'm not going to be admired. If that's the considerations, then you're joking. Don't blame God. The people are out there, but then you got to know, maybe you're blaming God, but you shouldn't blame God, it's your own fault. I don't mean you personally, I'm just pointing to everybody. It's our fault, okay. If you want to get married, God created, men God created, women, He created the world, no, there's something there for you, for sure. It's out there, it is out there. But you have to search for it. You have to search for it. And if you search for it intelligently, it's like a person is saying, a person wants to buy a house, they'll find it. I can't, I'm searching, I haven't found my dream house. I mean, it's an absurdity. So, make an adjustment. There's plenty of good houses. You see, if you are intelligent about this, if you should all do a self-study about, it's unfortunate, I don't have enough time to spend with you, I can help you with this thing. Do a self-study of what the kind of things you're looking for, what principles you're employing in the search. And afterwards, we'll see whether maybe you should change certain things. Maybe you should change the kind of things you look for, the kind of people you won't go out with the pot. Maybe you should be a little bit more open to what really counts as opposed to these fantasy things that you've constructed, which could be impeding you. And then you're saying, I can't, there's nobody out there for me. There's plenty of people out there for you. But you're not really in touch with that which is important. People, again and again, and I don't mean to be harsh, because I have tremendous sympathy. I know that there's today, for whatever reason, people find it harder. I don't mean to be unsympathetic and callous about it at all. But I'm telling you the truth, that if you pursue it diligently, and you do it correctly, and you pray to God, you will find what you're looking for. Okay, guys, have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Yeah.